The next big thing from Mercedes-Benz invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Craig Eagle.
Oh, Craig, thanks for coming back in.
Lovely to be back again, Tone. Good morning, Ed. Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Nikki. Good morning, listeners.
Oh, look, Ed wasn't here when you were in last.
He was off gallivanting around the world, apparently doing something to do with soccer.
That was just...
World Cup reporting at its finest.
That was Furphy of the year, but well, you see what we're doing today. Stolen ideas.
Yeah.
I've had one of my best ideas for the revolutionary... Oh, see, I can't even say that. Revolutionising? Would that be...
That'll do.
Is that English?
Yep.
The telecommunications industry, it's actually been done. Ideas we've been floating as jokes on this show are taking off.
Well, my idea to become an art teacher and then get naked in front of the class has been stolen.
Oh, they've done that one.
Yeah. Some of my best stuff. You know, my...
Religious affairs today, Ed.
Oh, really?
That's always popular.
That's always non-controversial, which is good to hear. Prepare to be offended.
And the most powerful man in the world likes a fart joke. That's what we're saying today.
The music's right out.
But let's pull the mood down as we welcome one of our favourites here at Get This.
They are slothful and incompetent, and they should be made to answer for it.
There's no need for that. And Kim Beazley, it's all coming up on Get This. That's the police, so it must be Tuesday here at Get This Around the Nation. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It's me, Tony Martin.
Yeah.
That man, Ed Cowan.
Morning.
It's Ricky M pushing the buttons.
Hi, Tony.
I'm Rich.
Only he can. A fake round of applause for the returning Craig Eagle.
Yeah.
Craig, welcome back.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
You don't seem in a good mood this morning.
Look, I don't want to get the program off to an uncomfortable start.
Well, it's normally my job.
Look, I'll be honest, there's a little something on my mind.
What's happened?
Most guests come in at the start of the day and it's all very joyous and happy and hugs and kisses. I've got something on my chest that I feel must be brought up.
Let's hear it.
All right. Look, friendships may be stretched and...
Really?
People's feelings may get hurt, but I feel I can't live alone.
There was an incident
last week, related to this program.
Really?
I'm a long-time listener, second-time co-host. Of this program, and I was listening last week. My beautiful wife, Pauline McDonald, who listeners will be very familiar with, lived in this very building.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just upstairs in the cupboard. And worked here
that's
on...
Right. She's a prize on the show.
She was. And I was with my wife at the day off. We're in the car going for a nice drive, and we're listening to the show. And look, a clip was played. Richard, have you got the clip there that relates to me directly?
Okay, here we go.
Just a little bit upset.
Our producer, Nikki Hamilton, did a show called Eagle and Evans.
That's true.
Almost went to air.
I can't believe it.
Almost was broadcast.
I can't believe it. I can't believe how close you can get.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's...
Is that not true?
Well, no, I want it stated for the record. I want it on Hansard. That the show did go to air.
Did it
all,
go to air?
All 8 episodes went to air, sure, over a period of 7 months.
That's true.
But they did all go to air, sure, not in order, but they did all go to air.
One went out on the planes first.
Sure, there are people in Air Iraq who love the show.
The DVD came out before the show had finished going to air.
Correct, all right. But I just, the reaction in the car was quite remarkable.
Really?
My wife, I was fine, I'm over it, but my wife... The tears.
Oh, really?
The screaming. The bashing of the dashboard.
Really?
She was inconsolable, and the whole thing started flaring up again. One minute I'm mild-mannered husband and glorious father of two, and this whole fear of what's going to happen to me when this bad boy goes off. The next thing I know, I'm hosting a late-night quiz program, spending my life saying, "Hello, caller, who's there?"
Oh, it's not
Give
that
me
yet.
A flavour of... Of fruit starting with B.
You haven't done that.
Boysenberry. No, it's not there. Hello, caller. That's not alive.
We're
Who
not,
wants that? Not me.
It's not Craig Mania yet.
It's
or
not Craig Mania. I did turn that down. We'll have
did you? You
I
did
turn
not.
It down. I was asked, but they went for some couple of gooses and bikinis instead. On record again, I do look nice in a bikini.
Oh.
And the only way I could get my wife to stop the crying and the screeching was to drive past the ABC in Elsterwick and fire off a couple of rounds at the building to make myself feel good about myself again.
You've got to get in a bit of a queue for that privilege.
It's 2 rounds each and then you got to move on, all right?
Yeah. And there was a lot of us queued up, let me tell you.
I'm usually at the head of that queue. Yeah. With a shoddy, and I declare proceedings open. I go, this is for playing the second series of Space at 12:30 on Saturdays.
Hi, Tony, they say.
This is for never putting Bar Jars out on DVD, and you're putting out everything that Ian Parmer has ever cooked digitally. This is for the 700 great comedy shows you didn't buy, but went with Surgical Spirit and that one set at the Vets.
What's Surgical Spirit?
This is for, like, never playing Father Ted, and yet playing all of that really bad one where Father Dougal was a superhero. Whoa. That's like playing none of the Bowie albums and playing everything by Tin Machine.
That's
bang!
Pretty
that's
much
the Fireflies!
That's how every day begins.
Wow.
For me at the ABC.
So now we're better.
Okay, we've got it out of our system.
I just wanted to get that out and about, and they did all there.
We
7 months
cleansed, I think,
it's
now.
Good.
Gee, I feel cleansed.
Doesn't that feel good?
It's
out of our system.
Yeah, a little better.
Where do you take the kids? Where do you get the kids in the car? Is there any activities there?
Well, a big couple of weeks. Obviously, the Royal Melbourne Show was on.
Oh, the Royal Melbourne Show. Now, for people in other parts of the country, paint the picture.
Well, pretty much like any show anywhere other than in Melbourne.
Oh. Yeah, it's like your Ecker. You know, your Ecker in Brisbane.
Yeah, Royal Show.
Haven't you got the lifetime pass to the Ecker?
No, I had a season pass to World Expo 88.
Wow.
I dream of Expo 88.
What was the highlight of Expo 88?
A number of things. The New Zealand pavilion. The queues were round the corner because they had this amazing...
Oh, that's the CES, isn't it? Sorry, that's where the Boeing should come in, Richard. Should have been faster. What was it, the New Zealand pavilion?
This really, like, you sat in a chair and then we got sort of taken through New Zealand, via a screen. Mm. And the chair moved and, like, mist got sprayed in. You couldn't get in. It took hours and hours to get in, but I was there every day.
And as soon as you sat down in the chair, did this music start? Yada, da, da, da.
Yeah, it did.
Every chair at our house does that.
Well, Dave Dobbin just sort of came up and sang it to you personally. That's why it took so long to get in and out of there. You had to sit through Dave getting through verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, verse, chorus.
Fantastic.
Isn't that song being played in the next break?
I'm sure it will be.
But I was there the last day because I went every day and I went to every single pavilion. I've still got the book with all the stamps in it.
Have you just?
And on the last day, because I used to go and watch the Seal show and then the dancing, they say they play Kylie Celebrate at the end of each show.
Mm.
And on the last day, everyone just jumped in the pool.
Oh,
in like a Rodney Dangerfield kind of end of a film, like spontaneous party moment.
And it was just that said bicentennial.
It was just amazing.
Celebration of a nation.
Yeah, it was just... I was in there with one of the mascots, this porcupine. It was brilliant.
And, okay, so cut to the Royal Melbourne Show.
Royal Melbourne
2006.
Show.
What happened?
Well, here's a bad combination for you. A bad combination is going on the last day of the Royal Melbourne Show and going the day after Grand Final Day.
Oh, was anyone there?
There was a lot there.
Okay.
There was way too many there, and there was me there. And I'd had a fairly big day the day before, and I get the feeling I was still a little intoxicated.
Oh, really?
Oh, I tell you, because, gee, there were some cranky carny folk. There were some cranky, cranky carny folk. I walked up to one of the rides, and I had my five-year-old and my two-year-old. I do need to say hello to Charlie, because I know he's listening. Charlie, I know that they said the water torture was good. Untie your brother. Turn off the tap.
Water torture is fine, according to Philip Ruddock.
Yeah,
it's fine,
it.
According to me and my family. So at the show, there were some cranky carny folk. My two-year-old lined up to go on a ride, and I said to the carny there, "Hey, is this okay for a two-year-old?" And he turned to me and said, "I don't really care, mate. He's your kid."
What was the ride?
It was just a little sort of a hippopotamus thing.
Oh, that should be sweet.
Which should be fine, but he was just cranky. There was a little moment that I thought, well, maybe I haven't quite sobered up from Grand Final Day. Every year it's a tradition that my son and I get a tattoo together.
Oh,
spray on henna tattoo.
Oh, okay.
Always great fun. And my wife left us there to get our yearly tattoo, and she came back to be presented with the image of her husband and her son, both bare-assed, getting demon heads sprayed on our bared and arsed cheeks.
Fantastic. Demon heads.
And she had to ask me, "What do you think you're doing?"
Yeah.
And my reply was, "Being a father figure."
Yeah.
Now pull those pants up and move on.
Yeah, which we did. It was a great day for everybody.
Yeah, well, the thing about the Royal Melbourne Show is it's the pleasant face of Melbourne.
Mm.
It's a part of Melbourne to show to the rest of the country.
Oh,
but then that's counted
by, you know, the papers these days. Uh-oh. I've got today's Melbourne Herald Sun.
Oh, dear.
Mean streets of Melbourne. Oh, the ugly face of Melbourne. Mm-hmm. Teenage drug dealers earn more than $1,000 a night by selling drugs in Melbourne clubs.
That's a lot.
Girls just out of high school use nightclub VIP rooms as drug dens to sell their illegal wares.
Didn't know that.
Unlicensed bouncers.
What kind of wares? Tupperwares?
Oh, they can't say. They can't print it. Family newspaper.
Wares, yeah.
But I'm thinking this, you know, that's a bad sound
that's
for Melbourne.
Bad sound for Melbourne. Mm.
But I reckon you
I don't want to go to Melbourne if that's what's going on.
You could sizzle it up, though.
Is that right?
You could make that sound good, I reckon.
I would like to hear
with
that.
The right music. What sort of music have we got? Yes, Melbourne. Teenage drug dealers earn more than $1,000 a night by selling drugs in nightclubs. Girls just out of high school use nightclub VIP rooms and drug dens to sell their illegal wares. Unlicensed bouncers terrorise rogue operators and club patrons. Can't understand a word of this. There's too many words in here. Rogue operators, club patrons.
Try again, Tone. Come on.
Students pay up to $200 a week for fake IDs so they can get into clubs. And binge drinking is common amongst the younger folk. Standover gangs are preying on people leaving Bran and Flemington venues. And pack violence has left police feeling undermanned. See, now that sounds good.
So much better.
Doesn't that sound good?
I'm hoping for some pack violence when I get to Melbourne.
What is going on there?
I couldn't live anywhere else.
What's pack violence?
I'm not sure.
It's new.
It's new, is it?
I reckon it's new. I reckon
didn't have that in your day.
No, we had no pack violence. Armitage, you're on the beats in South Australia. Any pack violence?
You've got a copy of Zoo Weekly there.
I do.
I'm just wondering if that would sound the same with the music.
Ah, a bit of Zoo Weekly work.
Cue it up. Let's find out.
Let's go to a song and I'll have a look for a bit and we'll come back because I think I know the bit I want to read about. Good work, Armitage.
Are there words in there?
In this, oh, okay. The words are printed in between the boobs, you know?
I did see Ed mesmerised earlier by Crystal's boobs from...
What's going on?
From Big Brother.
What's going on?
Like, they're enormous and fake, I'll say that
they're
much.
They're enormous and fake, but jeez, they get a lot of press.
They do.
Jeez, they get a lot of press.
I have to say, this is the recent edition of Zoo Weekly. I was very upset last week to go into a 7-Eleven and see... our very own Nikki Webster
on the front. She's on every couple of weeks.
What is going on there? That's our Nikki from the Olympic Games. She shouldn't be canned up and sexy on the front of a men's magazine. If they're going to upset me, who's next? Amanda Vanstone on the front of Zoo Weekly?
There's no need for that.
That's yuck. Yeah. Oh dear. Now they're trying to tell us that Nikki Webster's a sex symbol, and she's not. She's everybody's little sister from the Olympics.
She is. She'll always will be.
Yeah, she's got to get old and bitter. And put out an album of middle-aged songs called September of My Years. That's what I think she's got to do. And soon. We've got religious affairs to canvass.
Yeah.
We've got to find out who's stolen what. That's coming up on Get This. That'd be Tell Me Baby from those Red Hot Chili Peppers here at Get This Around the Nation. Craig Eagle is sitting in today. What's happened?
Nothing you can read out in the zoo to music or otherwise.
Really?
That was a punishing. How long was Tell Me Baby? Tell Me Baby ran 3:43.
And you couldn't find anything you could read out with the music.
Dear, my brain hurts.
You'd have to do a better job than me.
That was full on.
What a bungle fest. I didn't do my vocal warm-ups before the show. A little old lady was mutilated late last night.
That other one you do that.
That's a good one.
Fast, man. You put some crunk behind that. We might have something.
Hey, we'll be cranking up tomorrow.
Oh, I know.
John Howard's coming in with the crunk.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be great. He's been hard at it, I hear.
Yeah, he has.
I had to read a whole article about the pleasure machine in that song.
See, there's again some enormous fake cans.
There's an underwhelming career.
There's too much counterfeit breastage in those magazines for my liking.
A pleasure machine? What exactly is your job?
I think you know.
You're a machine, right? Like, you're built for stuff, but what do you just stand around? What's that about?
I don't know. I'll tell you what else. This is another what's that about.
Yeah.
Our sponsors.
Oh, what are they up to?
Mercedes-Benz. They've got something called The Next Big Thing. And it's reminding me, wasn't there a Madonna film called The Next Big Thing?
There was. Maybe it's a stage adaptation.
No.
Or a musical.
I mean, it's obviously van-related.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say it's van-related.
A talking van, perhaps?
That'd be nice.
Is that where they're going?
A friendly van.
A talking van.
Yeah.
Okay. That's our best guess. It's Tuesday. That is our best guess. And moving on from talking vans to religious affairs. Craig, were you watching the news last night?
Yes, I was.
What about those Americans and religion? Don't they love it?
Oh, they're mad for it.
Now, there's some woman
I've got her name written down somewhere. She was on the Channel 10 News. Mm-hmm. She's training kiddies as young as six to be suicide bombers for Jesus. They've decided we'll fight fire with fire. That's the way to go. Just to show that I'm not exaggerating, have a listen to this.
A staffing documentary reveals how the Jesus Camp urges youngsters to sacrifice their lives for Christ.
It's a boot camp for Christian soldiers, where children as young as six speak in tongues. At her North Dakota Kids on Fire camp, Pastor Becky Fisher's creating an army to take back America for Christ.
Take these prophecies and do what the Apostle Paul said and make war with them.
Fisher abuses her charges for failing as disciples of the Lord.
You're a phony and a hypocrite.
Then whips them into a frenzy to oppose anti-Christian concepts like abortion. And to support born-again Christian President George W. Bush. They're even challenged to make the ultimate sacrifice for God.
How many of you want to be those who would give up their lives for Jesus?
Kids are told to forget contemporary heroes.
And had it been in the Old Testament, Harry Potter would have been put to death.
There you go. Pastor Becky Fisher wants Harry Potter put to death.
Is it a bit? Is it a bit too easy to become a pastor?
I think it is. See, this is pastor. The word pastor, I think, is a key word because you're talking about, you know, getting kiddies to blow themselves up. That's what she's training them for.
For Jesus.
For Jesus. For a good cause.
Not just for Pokemon.
Now, the first thing is, don't call it Kids on Fire.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's not going to get them in.
That's not going to get them in.
Because obviously they're going to be on fire.
Yeah, and they know that from the title.
So maybe soften it up a bit with the name.
Kids at Happy Camp for Jesus.
That's what it should be. Something like that.
Kids with free rollerblades.
And then, we obviously haven't got pictures of the woman, but the thing is, she is enormous. And all of her assistants are enormous. And that South African guy going, will you sacrifice your life? He was enormous.
She's enormous.
It was just like, it was seven people, each one the size of, you know, seven Laurie Oakses.
Maybe they're eating the kids that don't quite work out.
What about a personalised satiny caftan? Kids on Fire range of satiny caftans.
They would need to go to
enormous assistance.
They'd have to go to Ringling Brothers to get kitted up with a caftan. It's a circus head. I'm telling you. Enormous people. It doesn't look good when the whole thing's about discipline and self-control.
Ah, yes.
Kiddies, put down the Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Get with the blowing yourself up.
Yeah.
And I'll just eat these 700 pancakes while you're doing it. I mean, if you haven't got the discipline to say no to the 20th, you know, bucket from the buffet.
Yeah, I'll put down, you know, the Western influences. I'll put down the popular culture influences when you stop drinking cheese straight from that can, spraying it straight into your mouth.
It's just not a good look.
No.
For fundamentalists.
No, they need to be svelte. You know, they need to have a very kind of, they like a military kind of approach. You know? They need to be svelte, fit, you know, kind of good haircut.
Mm. Neatly trimmed beards.
Neatly trimmed beards.
And out with the, in with the neatly trimmed beards, out with the morbid obesity.
That's not going to work.
You know, okay, fine, you're going to be blowing yourself up. But you
look
don't
good while you're doing it.
But you should be able to drive yourself. You don't want to have to be craned there.
Craned.
Oh, I just think that's a bad look.
How far away from the crane is she, do you think?
She is like, I reckon, five
off the crane.
Five off the crane.
That's quite soon.
Yeah.
Jeez.
She's five thick shakes off the crane.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that crane, right? Yeah. And do you think that one day you're just in your house and you've had the cheese can, your second cheese can in the morning, and it's all gone. You think, oh, that was delicious cheese. You think, I wouldn't mind another can full of cheese.
Could somebody bring me a sandwich on a stick?
No. You still think that you can get up, and you go to get up, and you can't, and then you just, something inside you goes,
crane.
It's the crane for me.
I'm just going to stay here.
I'm just not getting up. Yeah. It's time for the crane.
Call Becton's. I need to get to the fridge.
If I could get up and get the yellow pages, I'd be all right. But I can't. My ass is wedged in this chair.
I'm crane
folk. I'm stuck now. Hopefully someone comes over with a bucket of chicken. I'll ask them to go and get it.
Pastor Becky Fisher.
Not cool, Becky.
Pastor. But the thing is, okay, so the idea is the kiddies need to be, well, one thing is, more respectful and interested in the work of George W. Bush.
Yeah.
What is George Bush into these days? Have you seen this new book by Bob Woodward?
Oh, he's not a fan.
Not a fan.
Doesn't appear to be. No.
And he's got a fair few disturbing things to say, but I'll just rush straight to the odd spot from his book.
Good work.
Listen to this. Mr. Bush and his senior advisor, Karl Rove. Do you find that thing whenever you see him in the paper, you think it's Rove?
Oh, really?
You know, Rove in Karl Scandal. Yeah. Going, what? That wasn't that bad. But no, so it's Karl Rove. Listen to this. Enjoy fart jokes, which they sometimes swap in the middle of Oval Office meetings. Ooh. Mr. Rove, when bored, plays with a battery-powered redneck horn, which can be attached to a car dashboard. When you press a button, it rattles off such obscenities as, "What race are you in, shithead?" Oh, and these are quotes from Bob Woodward's book, "Put the cell phone down, dickhead." Mr. Bush, Woodward implies, finds the toy amusing. Mm. So when the meeting gets a bit dull, out with the redneck horn. Mm.
See, I've just got an image now of George Bush going, "Iraq, Iraq, what are we going to do about Iraq? I'll stuff it. Pull the finger. Go on, pull the finger. That'll lighten up the mood.
I don't have the power to pull that finger. You can't handle the finger." So I just think, you know, so you got, this is what a, I want to use the word effed up. That's what I want to use. Kiddies are being trained to blow themselves up from a bloke who's sitting around in the Oval Office firing off fart jokes.
It's actually increased my opinion of him, though, now.
It has. It makes it slightly more interesting.
Mm. When does it get boring in an Oval Office meeting? Aren't we talking about, like, look, President, the following things are going to change the world forever? Really? Fire one off, Carl. Unemployment, I don't think so. What do you got? What's that thing got to say?
We got global warming, future of mankind.
Well, hang on, I got one, Bob.
This is a bit dull. Bring out that horn.
Boy.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. And then, you know, you've got George Bush's own people, the same people that told him about the weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. Now, saying the
can't
word...
Can't be trusted, those people.
But I love how they can be trusted when there are weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the same people go, "Oh, we're wrong. There's nothing there at all.
Look, no one's perfect.
We're just making it up."
Yeah. It was a joke.
And then we don't believe them. And you've got John Howard saying... John Howard says he's dismissed a claim by U.S. spy agencies that the Iraq war has increased the risk of terrorism.
Oh.
But these are the same spy agencies that told him about the weapons of mass destruction.
See, that's the thing about spy agencies.
No.
You can't trust them. You know, like some days they'll say what you want, and other days they won't. What are you going to do?
And you can't find them. They're sitting around with a newspaper with the eyes cut out.
Big funny mustaches.
Yeah, exactly.
What are they doing?
Trench coats everywhere. Paper. You wear a trench coat walking down the street, you're virtually invisible.
What I think that it seems to me the biggest enemies of the war on terror are the US spy agencies.
Ooh.
I think that George Bush has to launch a surgical strike on his own people. That's what he's clearly got to do. Oh, look, I've just spilled a glass of water.
A glass of water, Tone.
If we sit here long enough, we'll be electrocuted.
There's anarchy in the studio today. Tony's finally snapped and he doesn't care. He's mad as hell and he's not going to take it anymore.
Tone, put down that knife.
No, don't, Tone. Have a go at Armitage, you know? Far out.
Well, we've got to bring in the roadies.
Love it, Tone.
We've got to bring in the first class cleanup crew.
You've soaked all your clips, Tone. What are you going to do?
The rest of the show is going to be...
Look, your book.
The rest of the show is running. It's running. It's smudged.
Your book, Tone. We're going to have book.
We're going to have to call off the rest of the show.
What are we doing next? We're doing...
Yeah, coming up next.
Get this.
I can't see any bloody sense in them at all.
For the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz.
You're listening to Get This Around the Nation, where flooding has already destroyed three segments. Craig Eagle is with us.
Yeah. I'm a little wet, but I'm here.
It's the wettest show on radio today.
Oh.
But it's certainly making Ed look, he's got the wet t-shirt look happening.
I'll tell you what.
His fans love it.
I love it.
Yeah,
great right. look.
Thanks, man.
We get so many emails about Ed. We also, listen to this. My husband works with the GE Money Genie, says
so
Lisa.
What do you mean? In a genie kind of, down at Genie HQ?
I'm assuming. Have you seen the GE Money Genie, Craig?
I have seen the GE Money Genie, and frankly, I think it's a good gig.
A lot of people think it's Ed.
Genie's Warehouse? Sorry, Armitage.
Lisa says that's no fake accent he's using in the ad. That's really how he talks.
Well, he talks in a stupid manner then. That's a ridiculous voice. Who talks like that? If he walked into... If I was in the shop and he started going... I'd say, like, shut up, idiot. You don't talk like that.
To Stupidistan.
There is no way he talks like that.
Not a chance.
I believe there's Russian-Baltic heritage involved. Sorry to shatter the illusion. She could be lying.
She believes.
Some of our listeners lie to us and we'll be talking about that.
Yes. Yeah.
Not just yet. We're sizzling. Just sizzling at this point. A lot
of
people.
I don't believe that either.
People are very happy with who was it? Angus Sampson.
Oh, because he was he
came up with the best lookalike for Philip Ruddock.
Brilliant.
Chancellor Palpatine.
Oh, yes.
In fact, Darth whenever we talk about him, from now on, we need that music. We need okay. I'm old enough to remember when that was the Margaret Thatcher thing.
Ooh.
Ouch. although Andrew is insisting that Philip Ruddock is Monty Burns.
Well, that's quite good.
That's very close, yes.
I think Monty Burns is a good Rupert Murdoch, though.
No. There's more like kind of... Rupert Murdoch's face is kind of a bit more melty. Like, there's a bit more, like, you know, cheeks and stuff going on.
Beasley, eh?
Rupert Murdoch has also started dyeing his hair.
Has he?
And I noticed that his papers, who love to make fun of Mick Jagger for dyeing his hair, and love to make fun of Paul McCartney for dyeing his hair, have just left him alone.
Unrelated
even though he's using the same Ovaltine colour that no hair actually goes. a lot of people emailing in saying, what's the deal with Christopher Walken? What movie are those clips from?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not from a movie because there's canned laughs. Or there's not canned laughs, real laughs.
It's people laughing, yeah.
And you don't often hear that in a movie.
No.
We're talking about this stuff.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
It's from the famous cowbell sketch from Saturday Night Live. Would that be on the YouTube?
Oh, it's absolutely on your YouTube. You type in cowbell and Walken, then it's a go-go.
And it's a treat for Blue Oyster Cult fans.
It's massive. It's fantastic.
The rest of my emails are drenched.
They are, Tone. You just stuck together. And you were so looking forward to it today. You told me, I've got so many emails here. That's fantastic. And now they've all fused.
A big, soggy mash of mess.
That's right. That's our show today. What have we got in the way of music, though, Ed?
Man, I'm really happy with today's music.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's sort of if you close your eyes and you imagine you're in a sort of a pub geek, let's say mid-80s.
Which I am.
Good stuff.
right. Craig does run his own pub, by the way.
Man, of course. And there's, and everyone's holding a can of Forex.
You know why Craig runs his own pub?
No.
Because he's an actor.
Oh, right.
So you have to.
Yeah, I know that one.
Well, there aren't trams anymore with conductors.
That's right.
And I'm just gonna rock out a little bit and send out a message that I think it's been a long time in coming.
Okay, let's hear it.
People need to hear this message. 234. Here we go.
This isn't just the Divinyls, is it, Ed?
Come on, Tone. I don't stay up all night writing songs to hear that from you.
Oh, I'm at the bar and I'm loving it. Gallop bourbon and Coke, thanks, mate.
What?
Lots of ice.
It's the Divinals. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M or KOFM if you're listening in Newcastle. Sudden ending that one.
Nicely done.
They just go, nah, had enough of this. We're out of here. Craig Eagle is with us. Comedian Craig Eagle, star of the show Eagle and Evans, which, as we say, nearly went to air. it did go.
8 episodes, 7 months.
Yeah, it was the most. It was like, let's keep this a moving target.
Yeah.
Keep them guessing. It is out on DVD, though. You can see that. And Let's Climb a Certain Mountain. I don't know if you were listening yesterday, Craig, but there was a big debate about the meaning of the word bunga.
What was
listening
yesterday?
Arnold Schwarzenegger dropped in an old clip which Ed brought in from YouTube.
Yeah.
And we had some bloke call up, Enrico.
Enrico.
He was bloody convincing.
No, he was good. He was so kind because we put the call out, please give us a ring and tell us what it means. Enrico was on the phone straight away, and he said that his parents were Portuguese speakers.
Yeah.
And that it meant, it was a kind of a term used.
Orgasm is what he was suggesting.
Tone said it.
And we went along with that.
Well, we've got no reason to doubt him.
Because it's an odd thing to make up.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly he had orgasms on his mind.
He did. He did, listening to our show, which is strange. Very strange. Although Armitage is, it's inspired that in some.
Our panel operator does get people going.
Oh.
Richard Marsland.
Stop licking your lips.
May know him as Armitage Shanks, if you're a Wikipedia reader. His page on Wikipedia is getting so long.
I love it. It's made up entirely of nicknames. I couldn't be happy with how that's going.
Well, I like that the two things I'm known for is a brand of toilet and also a cottaging update.
You brought that upon yourself.
I did. Now, I do want to put the call out. Please email us in beats that you know about. Because Richard's going to do another update.
Okay. But, okay, so then we were naively going along with that.
Yeah.
And then some woman, Monica, called us up. incredibly hot Brazilian woman.
Well, we think she sounded hot.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because I've had so many people. You know, you do all these fancy sketches.
I know.
And you just go, mate, who's that chick who called you up?
It's always
who's
the
that
way.
Woman?
Always the way.
Hey, Brazilian, did you keep her number, mate?
No,
you
get it. That'd be stalking. Right?
What did she went with
ass.
That's yeah. right.
Which made sense.
I love the ass.
Arnold finally found a country obsessed with the same body part as him.
That's right.
He'd been everywhere.
Yeah. So we've got to be careful what we say on this show.
Yeah.
And here's a term I've got. Craig, would you remember, would you be young enough, I guess, to remember Saved by the Bell with Screech?
Oh, very well.
Screech.
Very well. Screech, yes.
What do you remember about Screech?
Oh, clean cut, nerdy, geeky kind of guy.
Everyone's mate.
Everyone's mate.
Everyone's mate. The jocks. It respected his dorkiness. They didn't beat him up. You know, the girls kind of every now and again gave him a looking because he was just so nice.
Yeah.
He was the tall,
clean
high pitched every
American
man.
Boy.
Yeah. He's all right. Yeah.
He's got a sex tape out.
Good on him.
Yeah, Screech
on him.
Has got a 40-minute video in which
minutes?
He engages in a kinky three-way with two women.
No,
can't read that
minutes.
Out.
40 minutes. Well done, Screech.
No, can't read that bit out. Oh, can't read that out at all. Oh, I can't even read out the title of the video.
You can't?
But it says here, we can't, this is an article, can't get too graphic here.
No.
But word is the action includes some bodily functions and an act known as a dirty Sanchez.
Screech. Screech. Are things that bad, man? You can't do dinner theatre somewhere? Or just, oh, that's terrible.
Maybe realise that we're actually going to make him money now. People are going, oh, I have to see that. Screech and Sanchez, I'm there.
40 minutes
Google.
Of Screech?
Perhaps Enrico.
Ah.
Or Monica.
Ow!
Might like to call us up and tell us what a dirty Sanchez is.
Don't do that, Tony.
I get the feeling you already know it.
Don't, Tony, don't even begin. What are you insane, man? What are you doing?
The phones have lit up.
You're attempting fate, man. Can we get to our phone topic, please?
Our phone topic today is stolen ideas. Have you had an idea stolen?
Ooh.
Why? Why would I be doing that? A new service that makes mobile phones emit a piercing electronic scream if stolen was launched in Britain yesterday. Wasn't that my idea?
It was your idea,
When your mobile phone gets stolen, you just call a certain number and then your phone, wherever it is...
Goes off.
It goes, help, help, I'm in this bloke's pocket. I've been stolen. And they've done it. They've done that. That was my idea.
But yours is just. But theirs isn't even as good as yours because theirs is just a noise. This is just a piercing noise.
And people, if an alarm goes off in your street, you ignore it.
Eventually, people just get used to the piercing noise and not even care.
But wouldn't a better idea for the phone to actually take pictures of where you are?
Oh yeah, so
Send photos to the police.
Help! Help! Look at the inside of this bloke's pocket. Look, recognize that? That's where I am.
Well, obviously, it has to
happen
when he's out. Yeah, when he's on a table.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good. I'm trying to flog it off.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of the bloke I'm selling it to.
That'll be on there tomorrow.
It's not bad. That's genuinely stolen from you, Tone.
Craig, have you had an idea stolen?
Well, I mean, in a loosely related topic, obviously, time travel. My idea as a child was always to build a time machine.
Yeah.
And travel back in time.
Great idea.
And make my living from, Melbourne Cup winners.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Back to the Future style.
Right.
But apparently someone's already done it.
Really?
Yeah. I found a classified ad from a California newspaper, which reads, and this is serious, wanted somebody to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. And it has his address. And then you'll get paid after we get back. Must bring your own weapons. Safety not guaranteed. I have only done this once before. And I did actually reply to the ad. I contacted the person saying I was interested, and his reply was, not after how you behaved last time.
Hey.
Okay.
I want to...
What's his plan, though?
Yeah, what's he going to do? Obviously,
his plan of going somewhere dangerous.
Settling some old scores.
Yeah.
Bring your own weapons, because, you know, obviously, he's only got enough for him.
I only found this Nerf bat. Is that all right? I would really like to
take him up on that. It's in California, though.
It's in California.
Yeah. I hope it's got a local branch. I would love... Why wouldn't you go? Like, it'd just be amazing to see... He's obviously built...
He's got a local branch, did you say?
Maybe he does, but that's amazing. Like, that's kind of cool. He's built a time machine.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that he's taken time to put an ad saying he's built a time machine.
Free. Well, you just keep it to yourself.
No, he needs someone. Do you know how hard it is to find good help these days? And do you good time-traveling help, do you have to pay or do you go for free?
Well, I think, you go for free and it's an employment kind of game.
But it always ends in tears.
You know what happens when you travel back through time to change something?
Yeah,
someone always, like, steps on a flower and then when they get back to the present, lizards run the world.
Places burning down.
Well, that's why you've got to take weapons. Because lizards are running the world.
Own weapons.
Must have your own weapons.
All right, they've stolen the time travel idea. Ed, have you had an idea stolen?
Yeah. My idea to become an art teacher and get naked in front of my students has been nicked.
Because you mentioned that weeks ago, didn't you? That's been knocking around your head for ages.
Obviously, these are older students.
It's on my blog. Yeah. It's at university level.
Okay.
A 56-year-old assistant professor was doing a course in body art. And to emphasize the power of the body and challenge their taboos, he just got his gear off. He had three models in the class. Two males and a female who were already naked, and the class wasn't getting into it as much as he would have liked. So he got up the front and started getting really emotional and saying, come on, people, you've got to get involved in body art, and took his gear off.
And did he have some Barry White music?
And where was Screech when he needed it?
He was...
All right, now next, we're doing the Sanchez. Yeah. Everyone's nude.
And look at this. He said that it's still... that the 30 students felt uneasy.
Yeah.
But, as you would. However... The university has said that they're still researching the what he did to see if it had a positive or negative effect.
Wow. Could be part of the curriculum.
So what sort of research is that?
Well,
remember last week when that bloke dropped his gear at the front of the class?
Yeah.
Positive effect?
I've gone through the roof since then. My marks have gone through the roof.
Well,
I've never been happier.
Case closed. Made me realise, yes, we do all need clothing.
What about you, Shanksy?
Have I had any ideas?
Come on, surely down at the Rove writing offices there, just, you know, everyone's looking over each other's shoulders.
You can stuff left, right and centre, sucking up to the boss.
Well, I like to drive around and pass out in the car while carrying bags of cannabis.
I've read that.
George Michael's gone and
stolen my complete act.
Everything
is very frustrating.
Everything was going well for George Michael, though. He tidied himself up. He dumped the 58-year-old bloke he picked up in the bushes, and he's back on tour. And tour's only been going a week. Oh, no, got to get back to that park.
Yeah.
Lose control of my vehicle.
But there was a quote from his life partner saying...
Who's his life partner?
I can't remember his name.
Kenny Goss.
Bross.
No, it's not everyone what? Thinks that. No.
Who's Kenny Goss?
No, because then you get an unfortunate image of George Michael in a Bross sandwich.
Ouch.
No, it's someone else. No. It's someone else.
Well, that's the end of today. Thanks, Tone.
But is that a dirty sandwich?
It's all therapy for me this afternoon.
But the quote from his life partner was, he doesn't want to say anything. He's fine. I bought him some McDonald's.
What's that?
But he obviously had the munchies, didn't he?
I think if he passes out one more time, he gets a free sub.
Okay. Give yourself a Boeing, man. That was Boeing City.
I reckon he's got to say it again with a Boeing.
Come on, Shanksy.
Yeah. Give it again.
How about that George Michael, Shanksy?
If he passes out one more time, he gets a free sub.
Now we're thinking with gas. We need people to call us up and tell us, what's been stolen from you. Yeah. Tell us about the idea was stolen. Yeah.
B, do you think that Monica, the Brazilian, sounded hot?
Well, so we're not going with the Sanchez.
That box.
No.
No, we can't go with the Sanchez.
Because poor old Katie was the one that has to field the calls.
Fair enough.
And I field calls in the song as well, as you know, Tone.
I just mop up my own disaster.
And I don't want to know about it.
Okay, give us a call. 133353.
Oh, yes, that's Smash Mouth.
Cheers, Smash Mouth.
And Triple M or KOFM.
Great job.
Craig Eagle is with us. Let's get up the mountain, please.
We've got good callers.
We're asking who has stolen an idea from you. Who's going first, Ed?
Michael, how are you?
Oh dear, Michael. Stolen Michael away from us. Michael.
Eating tacos a long time ago with my mum.
Yeah.
And couldn't discover why they didn't have a flat bottom, and now they've just brought them out.
Yes!
When I saw that ad, I thought it was a genuine breakthrough in snack-related technology. I thought it was a really, really good idea, and you came up with it.
all this like 10, 15 years ago, but now they've just come out and it's all the rage, you know? Like,
modular sex!
Michael, have you considered legal action?
No, unfortunately.
Well, you should.
Michael, have you had any other, snack-related ideas in the intervening years?
No. Not really, no.
Man, that was your big chance.
I know.
Has it stopped you eating tacos? This uncomfortable? No. No, all wrong.
But I won't. I refuse to eat someone else's taken my idea.
Yeah,
fair call.
Have you ever had a dirty Sanchez?
That's enough. Michael, thank you, sir. Hello, Liam. How are you?
Hi.
How are you? What did someone steal from you?
Well, a few years back, I don't know if you remember it, and I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing, but I actually came up with the idea for the show Shafted.
What was that?
That was a Red Simons rip-off of Weakest Link.
Right. Oh, right.
And you're quite happy to admit that, are you?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about happy, but I think I have to cop to it.
And so, you're admitting to inventing an idea that you describe as a rip-off of another idea.
Indeed.
And now you're complaining someone stole it.
Liam, you have got a future as a TV executive, my friend. Get yourself down to Channel 9 as fast as you can.
Will do.
Thank you, sir. Hello, Johnny.
G'day.
How are you, sir? Now, what's been stolen from you?
Well, actually, you blokes stole my name, Armitage Shanks.
Now, do tell.
Well, I've got two close mates of mine, and all three of us have fake drinking names. Mm-hmm. And mine's Johnny Turbo. My other mate's Roland Garros.
That's good.
That is good.
The final one is Armitage Shanks, which he's ripped off. And we've had him for about a year.
Tell me something, Johnny. How does Armitage Shanks go with the ladies out of an evening?
He's a well-taken man, so he's allowed. But Roland Garros goes all right.
And have you got a fourth bloke in the group who might be called Dirty Sanchez?
That's enough. Yeah. Thank you, Johnny. Hello, Louise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How's it been stolen from you?
Well, it wasn't an idea, but I had my car stolen, and within, like, half an hour, it was returned.
What was it? What made it so offensive?
It was just so bizarre. We'd parked the car in a car park and went in to visit my in-laws. And came out and the car was gone. We're like, oh no, the car's been stolen. And we walk around the car park and there it is in another car space still running.
So
technically speaking, your idea would have been, I'd like my car back.
Yeah.
And someone stole that.
And tell me something, Louise, was it a combi with like a hippie mural on the side? They couldn't bring themselves to drive away with it?
We actually did have a combi, but no, it was just a Ford station wagon, nothing fancy. But
now, you're sure you didn't just leave it in the other space yourself?
There are a couple of screaming kids.
And you've gone, hang on, I'm on yellow triangle. Weren't we on blue hexagon?
It's just so uncanny. You never hear of a car being stolen and then returned.
No, you don't. Well done.
It was very nice of the thieves to return our car.
Was there anything playing on the stereo that might have caused him to return it?
REO Speedwagon, perhaps?
Some ELO in the glove box?
Well, I do love my 80s, so that's very possible.
There it is.
Da-da-da-da.
That'll do. Thank you. Hello, Sean. Well, I'm excellent, sir. What's been stolen from... what's going on? Well, talk us through it.
Well, actually, nothing's been stolen, but I just wanted to give you a Screech update.
Please do.
I saw Screech on Fox 8 Thursday night, and he was in celebrity boxing.
And who was he fighting?
Get this, Horseshack from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh!
And who won?
Oh, shit you not. He was dead set going, I'm gonna whoop his ass and all his crap. And I'll tell you what. Little Horseshack put one right on his chin, put him back a few steps and that, and he went, and then he beat the crap out of bloody Horseshack, and then he was rocking around the ring like he was some sort of good sort, like,
kicked Horseshack's ass. I'll
tell you one thing it's hard to do, that's Dirty Sanchez and boxing glove on.
There we go, that'll do nicely. Thank you, Sean.
And was when
Sanchez.
No, Sean.
I just run there.
No, you don't. Thank you, sir.
I'd love to know what it was, but it's not going to air.
No, sure.
Is that all we've got time for?
What did I tell you, Tony? I told you, you tempt him and you tempt him, eventually they'll bite.
I was hoping Monica would call back.
I know you were.
But no. Craig, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No, I don't, actually. I am in discussions with a... I'm working on a secret project for a major project. Television network. So secret, in fact, that they're not aware of it.
Oh, good.
Well done.
And that's the way I prefer to do it.
Well, good luck
Tony,
with that.
You're on Real Stories tonight, homie.
I'm on Real Stories, but Ryan Shelton is the one who's kicking comedy goals.
Homeboy.
He's very funny on tonight's ep.
And I think I might also, this is interesting, I'm two channels tonight.
Oh, two channels, Martin.
I'm on 20 to 1. Or will I be?
Yeah, see, you know, as I say, if Mikey Robbins is spinning goal, there's no room for you, Martin.
It's Australian movies episode, though.
Ooh.
And I had a lot to say.
Yeah,
but I don't think much of it would have been cleared by the lawyers.
Yeah, see, Richard Wilkins has got a lot of good opinions as well. Deborah Hutton, these are all quality individuals to have their say, you know.
So,
what if Jules Lund's got a great gag? Where does that leave you?
Outside. Yeah. Outside with the dirty Sanchez. No! And that was not. I don't think we had one. What? No, there was no key phrase today. And we'll be back tomorrow with Triple M's Kathy Din.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get some sensible talk about music for once, and it's all thanks to the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz. Now it's all out and you know.
At the petrol bowser.